Oh, shoot.
No, the show started.
Who starts?
Hey, everyone. It's Molly Wood. Don't worry. I'll just roll from my non sequitur right into the show. Welcome to Make Me Smart, the daily edition, making today make sense one day at a time. We hope. Hashtag don't eat kids.
Don't eat kids. That got a lot of play on my Twitter feed. I got to tell you, people are like, good guy, good.
Really,
don't let Molly eat kids.
Really,
I'm like, all right.
Don't let her do
whatever.
That. I'm like, come on.
Oh, my gosh. Right. This is the Thursday edition of Make Me Smart Daily. So it's the news fix and a little bit of funner, less serious stuff. And then we are out of your hair.
Boom.
Boom. Done. Boom. Done.
Just like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you like?
I feel like I need to do a public service today that just also happens to be like kind of one of my favorite things happening on the internet right now.
Okay.
Because I, several people today have said something along the lines of, why in God's name is hashtag white life matters or all lives matter or, you know, white this or that. There have been all these like somewhat racist sounding hashtags trending. And it is because, and this, I'm about to say a lot of words that might seem incomprehensible, and then I will explain. But what's so awesome is that basically what's happening on the internet right now is that K-pop stans are spamming hashtags. Okay. Turns out.
Back it up. Roll it back.
Yeah. The most powerful force on the internet is fans of K-pop.
That is true. Yes.
Like, you want to laugh, but it's true. The single most popular tweet that I have ever tweeted was one time during the Grammys. I was like, oh, look at Dolly Parton dancing with BTS, the K-pop pop group.
Yes.
That was redundant. The K-pop group.
Yes.
Like, 4 months afterward, K-pop fans would find that tweet and like it. And they all had, like, the purple hearts and the, I mean, months. It's got, like,
that.
Thousands of likes. It is far and away my most popular tweet because the most powerful force on the internet is K-pop people who are, by the way, fans of Korean pop bands. I'm just like, I'm gonna go all the way to explainer. And at some point, the community on the internet sort of during these protests was basically like, hey, can you help us? And I think there was some initiating factor, like they took over the hashtags, some kind of hashtag on 4chan. And then people on Twitter were like, hey, we know that, you know, mostly you're just about K-pop, but it would be awesome if you helped us, used your power to like take over these hashtags so that whenever anybody clicks on what is otherwise a hashtag that leads you to horrible racist postings, you'll just get posts from K-pop fans being like, stop being such a racist. You won't find that here. Like, it is absolutely
they are very peppy.
Best. They're super peppy. And then it's, I mean, and it's just like, it's hysterical. And people are like, I've been afraid to. And what they're doing is they're just flooding out all of these racist.
It's like a denial of service attack, right?
Yes. Right? Oh, basically? God, that's such a perfect way to put it. Yep. Yeah. It's a giant Twitter denial of service attack. Yeah. And it's just delightful. I absolutely love it. And then they have cute little videos, of course, of K-pop.
Of course. Are you a K-pop stan yourself, or are you just a stan of them on the internet doing this thing?
I'm just kind of like a stan of their stan power.
Fair enough. I myself am not. Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, there's some good K-pop songs that we've played in Beat Saber on virtual reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I hardly ever. I mean, you know, it like comes into my life here and there. But no, I personally, like, I'm too old for that. That would be embarrassing. My child would have a fit.
That would be embarrassing. We've been doing this podcast, what, how long now? It's too embarrassing. Cut it out. Good grief. Nice try, though,
Hollywood. I have limits. It is just honestly, like, you're not going to feel good about clicking on one of these hashtags, but I, like, encourage you to do it just so you can see all the great videos. And,
that's cool. That's good.
Yep, I stand the stand.
That should have been your Make Me Smile. I think we just went straight to the Make Me Smile part of this podcast. I don't know. It was kind of
they're
great.
Related. You'll
great.
See.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I saw the theme, but we'll get there in a minute. All right. Mine is much more humdrum, much more pedestrian, which is of course par for the course on this podcast. So, you know, we're both playing a type. I have been on the lookout. Look, I mean, so long as you know your role, everything's fine. Right? I've been on the lookout for green shoots, signs of economic hope, things that make you say the world is not ending, even though, honestly, the world is ending in so many ways, not just economic. So one of them, one of my very favorite markers, actually, through this whole crisis has been the number of people going through TSA checkpoints, right? Which a year ago, plus or minus, was 2.5 million people a day. And at the lows of like late March and early April, it was like 80,000 people a day in the whole country getting on an airplane, which goes to this item I'm going to have right here, which is that green shoot wise, American Airlines said today it's going to fly half of its domestic schedule in July, which is unbelievable. The idea that this company is going to take its planes out of storage and put them back in the air and get pilots flying and get air crews flying and get people to go to meetings and vacations and whatever is really, really interesting. Now, it could be a gutsy move because, you know, second wave and all this, but I think it's a really interesting sign that American Airlines, one of the big legacy carriers, is like, yeah, no, we're doing this. We see it coming. We're doing it. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know.
I am really, yeah. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, I do think that we both had somewhat hopeful news items today. I am very curious to see. I think in some ways the green shoots are like lagging indicators because, as I mentioned to you, I think in a pre-show, you know, we are very likely seeding a much sooner second wave right now, which we're going to talk about more on the Tuesday show.
Yeah. Well, let's give people the clue.
And so, well, yeah, I mean, you know, this question of whether the protests themselves, big gatherings of people at which, by the way, a lot of folks are coughing on each other because of tear gas, which I think we should argue should probably be banned as a substance that you use during a pandemic that is primarily spread through coughing. Like that would be a smart public health move, most likely.
Well, on a long list of smart public health moves, we're not doing, but that's a whole different podcast.
Right. Totally. And while I do not, you know, while I think the protests are like not optional, there's no doubt, presumably, that they're probably increasing spread. And so I wonder if green shoots and projections that were based that were made based on data pre-protest will change faster than we expected. I don't know.
No, totally. So we had the before times, right, before the pandemic and the lockdown. And then we started coming through it. And now we're going to have like the before George Floyd protest times, right? I mean, we're in like the intermediate time now or whatever. I don't even know what it is. But yeah, I think there's a huge, the unknown factor in epidemiology and the economy has certainly increased, I think. Anyway.
I think it really has, yeah. And I don't think that we're exactly taking that into account. It's like we're proceeding as though infection rates are going to stay the same, and I guess we'll know in another 11, 12 days, you know?
Yep.
What that really looks like.
Totally.
But in the before protest times, Bob Wachter of UCSF, who I follow for lots of information about, he's at UC San Francisco at the big hospital there. I follow him on Twitter for lots of updates about infection rates and death rates and things like that. And he tweeted actually a couple of weeks ago that he would feel comfortable flying in the middle seat with PPE.
Wow.
He was like, if I had enough hand sanitizer and an N95, you know, he's like, I'd feel comfortable flying somewhere in the middle seat.
But, you know, I mean, but yes. Yeah, so once you're safely seated in the middle seat and but look, so you got your mask on and you've sanitized the bejesus out of everything you could conceivably touch on your seat and your hands are safe and you're not going to touch anything. But think about, what has to happen to get you to that seat, right? You have to get through an airport. You have to get through TSA. You have to deal with boarding pass. I mean, all of that jazz. And then on the back end, right? You got to get out of the airport. You got to get into some kind of transportation. You got to get to your hotel. All right. Well, now I'm bringing us down.
But you know I disagreed. What I mean, right? Let me just say, I was like, that sounds great for you, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Daniel Ramirez, we'll save us from ourselves, will you?
Help.
Okay, yours is going to take longer, but I'm going to use mine as a setup because yours, I watched yours and I just didn't even know what it is. So I was a big fan of, in 2016, the Sweet Meteor of Death meme that was careening around the internet, and I really liked it. And oh, look, lo and behold, there's a meteor that's going to pass by this planet this weekend, which is the size of the Empire State Building, right? It's like as big as a freaking stadium. Now, that's the headline. The truth is it's going to be 3 million miles away, which still apparently in astronomical terms is quite close. But I kind of love that we're having a pandemic. We're having these protests. We're having all of the stuff that is happening. And the sweet meteor of death is coming. That's it. That's what I got.
I totally missed the sweet meteor of death memes. Oh, yeah. I don't know what those are, but that's amazing.
Seriously? Oh, my God. Yeah, I said it again.
Yep, look at that. Whiff.
Yeah.
Aw. I'm really annoyed that I clicked on this too, because I just managed to cleanse Google News. For some reason, I always got the asteroid is coming. Apparently I'm disaster minded. Yeah. I know, but now they're all going to be back.
All right.
I guess this is going to take a minute to explain, which I'm kind of sorry about, but okay. There's sort of a vibe on the internet today that some have referred to as boss fight. Like, there's boss fight energy. The idea that all of a sudden, at least on Twitter, and I don't know, I mean, it is somewhat reflected in the real world, that all of these disparate organizations and people are all sort of coming together in protest, right? Like, you literally have Crips and Bloods coming together, right, shaking hands and protesting together. The Amish, Wiccans, K-pop stands, on and on. There were ravers, I guess, who were coming and trying to use lasers from cars to disrupt surveillance technology. It's just this sort of remarkable thing. And so if you've ever seen Avengers Endgame, there's this incredible scene
hasn't?
Where
Come
the
on,
Avengers are fighting. And who hasn't?
Right.
Who hasn't? But just in case, at the end, all the Avengers are they're getting their butts kicked. And a big army of your favorite heroes and people come to save them. And so somebody recut this with the Avengers as the protesters and then all of the arriving heroes coming to save them as the Amish and the K-pop stands and white people using their privilege as shields.
Right.
And I mean, this was petition makers.
Thanos was the police, right? Wasn't that the deal?
Thanos is the police. And, yes, it's a political statement for sure. But it's just that moment in the movie was so thrilling. You stood up and you bawled and you cheered into everything. And it kind of did happen all over again watching this. I was laughing because it was kind of silly and there's some typos. And then I was I'm a little teared up again. And Batman, there's something about Batman that I have to still look up. I'm not even keeping track of all of the memes that are represented in this one video. But Amish.
We will,
it's
of course,
so
put
great.
It on the show page. We'll put it on the show
we
page.
We will.
Oh, my goodness.
We will. Yeah. I'm just saying, Kai has asked many times what it would take to, and I know that what he meant is, what is it going to take to unite the Wiccans and the Amish and the Ravers and the K-pop stands? I know that's what you meant. Right. And
That is what I meant. When I was saying, look, when are people going to step up and do what's right in this society? This is exactly what I meant. That's exactly what I meant.
He meant, how do we get Batman and Elmo on the same page?
Right.
How do we do this?
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
Twitter.
Yes.
Twitter. The internet is not all bad, turns out. That's my make me smile.
Oh, look at the time. Gotta go. Back tomorrow. It's
time to go.
Friday. We'll be live on YouTube. I will have a beer. Molly will have whatever libation she chooses. YouTube link in the show notes, and also that tweet that Molly was talking about. And that's what we got. Newsletter, of course, sign up for that too. Marketplace.org/newsletters. Let's do it.
I got to reiterate the show note thing too. Go there.
Yeah.
Go there. You're going to want to tweet us and be like, where's that thing that you, and also you have to see that.
Show
but yes, that's
notes.
Where that thing is that we talked about. Show notes. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, who puts together the show notes. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote produces video with the help of our intern, Ethan Peretz, who also combs through the mail and finds inspiration for us every day. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and our smart speaker explainers.
Daniel Ramirez was in charge today. Daniel and Ben Talladay composed our theme music. The executive director of On Demand is Satar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. And that's it. Thursday's in the books.
Deborah Clark. I went full nerd today on the internet, and it felt great.
look.
Yeah, I mean, today on the show, just now. Were you not here for
this? Oh, just now. Oh, yeah, you totally did. You totally did.
In the last 14, I was like, I'm just doing it. I'm going full nerd culture up in
it's
here.
It's happening. It's happening.
This is me.
All right.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.